clear. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. Here's McHugh.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Today I'm joined by a Motherwell legend, a man that enjoyed two spells at Fir Park, John Sutton. Welcome along.
Thanks very much. Nice to be here.
Well, what we'll do is we'll go back to the start of your career prior to joining Motherwell, and then we'll bring it up to date and your time at Morton towards the end of the podcast. I was starting out at Spurs and then moving on to Swindon. You would have kind of come onto the radar, wouldn't you, with spells at Raith Rovers and Dundee before joining St Mirren?
Yeah, obviously started at Tottenham. My first league game was with Carlisle. I had a quick loan spell at Swindon. Then after that, so it's such a long time ago, no one will remember. There was a company called ITV Digital, and all the all sort of lower league clubs in England had the money pulled, and that was a big thing back then. So Scotland was never really on my radar, and then all of a sudden it was on my radar and ended up at Raith. So that was my first experience of things up here.
How was the transition from English football, where there was a lot of money being spent at that time? Suddenly, all the assets had to be kind of sold and flogged quickly. You move up north. How was the experience?
Well, it didn't affect Tottenham. I mean, Tottenham didn't release us because of lack of funds. It was more to do with that. The career progression tended to be from Tottenham, and you would go to what would now be League One or League Two, where that wasn't such an option back then. So I ended up at Raith, which is brilliant though, because we're in what is now the Championship in Scotland, and got the chance to play every week. And for any young player, or for any player of any age, that's the biggest thing, to get playing football and playing in a really good league. Had the Spanish manager Antonio Calderon there. Had a good squad of players, and we done pretty well. Managed to score a few goals, you know, probably more than a few before Christmas. And then, funny how things go, ended up back down the road with Millwall straight after that.
Yeah, and during your time at Millwall, you had gone loan to Dundee and scored a few more goals before joining St Mirren. And that's possibly when you popped up in the radar of the Motherwell support. You would win the first division then, promotion to the top flight, then involved in a relegation battle where there was that game towards the end of the season, Motherwell 2-0 up at half time, and it didn't quite pan out the way we wanted it from a Motherwell point of view, certainly.
No, you're right, Dundee were in the top league at the time, so that was my sort of first experience with Motherwell. And I thought my first impression, to be honest, was I played on pitches that sort of go up and down from goal to goal, but never really across the way so much. But no, it was playing in the top league in Scotland, going to Dundee, it was brilliant. You play the Old Firm, which in fairness was, you know, they were certainly comparable with the top Premier League teams back then. Ibrox was full, Parkhead was full. So that was a great spell. Then obviously, go to St Mirren, shame getting relegated with Dundee, but you go to St Mirren. I was very lucky with the team I played for there. The time I turned up, things were on the up there, played for some really good players. And you're right, the Motherwell game where we ended up beating you 3-2, that was a bit of a roller coaster, I think. At one stage we were bottom of the table, and it wasn't looking very good for us at all. And just came on, I think my first goal, Colin Meldrum was a goalie coach when I came to play for you. I think a lot of the boys liked reminding him about the first goal. I like to think of it as a bullet header. I think the reality was it was a bit of a dodgy goal mouth and a dribble through his legs. And then the second goal I caught was one of those just right place, right time. I caught it really sweetly and flew in the net, and that was Samir and safe. And fortunately enough, Motherwell stayed up that season as well.
Yeah, it was one of these kind of days that as soon as St Mirren scored, despite being 2-0 up, the momentum just seemed to shift, and it was almost inevitable when you scored that winning goal. Did you feel that on the park that day?
No, not from our point of view. I think it was 2-0 going on a few more. You know, it was, you know, I remember you know, I could have been maybe possibly three, and at 3-0 you're almost dead and never coming back. But I managed to swing it around, and it's a great feeling whenever you come back. But when you come back, you know, and you would have been bottom, and you could well have been going down. It feels so much better again.
And from St Mirren, I moved to Wickham.
Yeah.
Before signing for Motherwell under Mark McGee in August 2008, and you had the ground running, didn't you? Three goals in your first three games.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a few more. Certainly hit the ground running. I remember goaling my first game. I remember coming back up the road and feeling, right from the start, feeling really welcome at the place, and sort of part of a really good team spirit, you know, from the people who done your cups of tea in the morning and let you get a bit of toast to Alan Burrows or Flo. I don't know whether it's still called Flo or Mr. Burrows now that he's in a higher position, making you feel really welcome. And hit the ground running. It was a really good team to play for. It was a very attacking team. It was a really ambitious team. St Mirren, we had a good side. It was a different sort of mentality at the time, though. I think there was a sort of a little bit of an inferiority complex, I think, at Motherwell. There was certainly none of that. We were expected to go out toe-to-toe with Rangers, Celtic and do well. And it was a really great team to play for.
Given that you joined Motherwell at 24, you had a fair bit of pedigree and a fair bit of experience behind you, despite your young age. You had quite a journey to that point, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it's becoming more common nowadays. I think my era was the start of that. Before, I think you would go to a club and you sign a three-year deal. You know, you look at contracts now, it's sort of two-year max, and a lot of them are year-long deals. You see the players down south, the amount of loans that go on and the amount of shuffling of players. And that was something that I really enjoyed in Motherwell. We didn't have certainly during my time there, we didn't have a huge amount of money. We tended to be written off every year, but there was always a really strong core group of players. You know, and people came and went a bit, but we had that team spirit where there was a lot of us who stayed together for 3 years, and when I came back to the club, a lot of those players were still there, and I think that created a really good dressing room, and all the a lot of the staff who were there when I started, like I say, Alan Burrows, who was in charge of the press there, now he's general manager, so it's, and Eldo the kit man's been there for I don't know how long. He goes through a lane and Karen, who works in the office, so it's a great club to be at from that point of view.
Motherwell obviously offers you your first chance at European football as well, and from a Motherwell fans' point of view, that trip to Nancy and the incredible following that we took to that, it was as if all of Motherwell had went on holiday at the one time. That must have been a great experience for you.
It was good. That was back in the days when Scottish football had a decent coefficient, so it was, you know, we're playing a pretty good team, and one game and would have been in the group stage. We weren't a million miles away. It's probably closer than the scoreline suggests. But I was always lucky at Motherwell that we had European football every year, although the second year was quite dubious because it was through the Fair Play Award, which you know, finishing seventh, maybe we didn't deserve it, but obviously we were such a nice bunch and never put a tackle in on anyone, so we got there eventually.
I'm pretty sure that was a team with Bob Malcolm in it that managed to win the Fair Play Award.
I think Bob was kept out of the team, and I think when someone pointed out what date we might be back for the European Tour before the final game, I think Paul Quinn suggested maybe a few of us could get red cards, but he went off to Cardiff anyway, so it didn't affect him.
The first season, I guess it was a bit of a mixed bag for you. The team didn't manage to hit the heights they had the previous season when they finished third, but you finished in 12 goals for the season, and you must have been fairly satisfied with your contribution during the first season.
I think you're right in what you're saying. It was a bit disappointing because we thought we should have been top six. I remember there was a game against Aberdeen, I'm not sure if it was just the one before the split, and we absolutely battered them, but we never came out with the win or the draw that we needed. So we went to the bottom six, and we never really got the cup runs going. So it was disappointing that year, no doubt about it. Goals are great, but they don't really tell you, you know, you can set up a goal or you can you know, be pivotal in other ways of the team. It's nice to score, and it, you know, there's no doubt that's part of your job as a striker, but you know, it's not the be all and end all. But I was pleased to make a decent contribution in the first year.
And that season, awesome. I think we were at bottom after losing Takis around Christmas time, so possibly gave ourselves a bit too much work to turn it around and finish in the top half.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It was straight. When it turned up, I think we were nearly top of the league. Every game seemed to be a thriller as well. It was 3-2 or 4-3, or there was plenty of goals and it was end-to-end stuff. Then we went on a bit of a bad run, obviously at the bottom, but I think it's just my time at Motherwell. We went on some really bad runs, but we went on some really good runs as well. You know, there's other teams that sort of win one, lose one. We tended to win five and lose six, and yeah, then win five again. It's always been a bit of a strange club like that.
Matt McGee would leave at the end of the season, and the lesser known Jim Gannon comes in, and we've had Keith Lasley, Stephen Habel talk about him, Stephen Craigan talking about him. He certainly turned the place around, and first of all, I think we've got to acknowledge that he did have an eye for a player, didn't he? He brought in some incredible talents, but his man management skills slightly dubious.
It was an interesting time. It was certainly an interesting time. It's funny, a lot of the things he'd done, and don't get me wrong, there was, from my point of view, I think other people's point of view, a lot of mental stuff, but a lot of the things he'd done were really good. And I think if you talk to Laz and Hammy, who are coaching there now, they're probably taking a lot of I watch the games, and a lot of things have little tweaks that they do, for the same as Jim Gannon done. But a lot of them aren't as well, right enough. There was a huge influx of players. You mentioned some of the quality of the players. John Ruddy, the goalie, always springs to mind. I think Motherwell have always been blessed with good keepers, but he was absolutely phenomenal. Turn up to work every day. It was a bit surreal at times. It was certainly lively, and I think if you ask Laz and Amy, I know they probably, same with myself, I know they weren't Jim Gannon's favourite players in the world, but it wasn't such a bad time to be at the club in terms of entertainment earlier anyway.
I can remember there was a game that was on Sky, and he refused to speak to Sky because they hadn't fixed his Sky dish.
that was my first experience of him. I was at Wickham and we played his Stockport team in the playoffs. I remember just opening up the programme, and I was expecting, in all honesty, the manager's column is normally a load of twaddle and rubbish and this and that. But he didn't talk anything about the game. He talked about how the Sky repairman hadn't turned up on the right day, so he would advise people not to use Sky again. I was like, that's different anyway.
It certainly proves that he writes his own programme notes, that's for sure.
I think I won't remember about his Motherwell programme notes, and it'd be good to double check that. I think you needed a dictionary or certainly a thesaurus every week. I think he used to put one very long word in that I'm not sure everyone knew the meaning of. I'm not sure he even knew the meaning of it until maybe a couple of hours previously writing his notes, but I was different. Maverick.
It turns out that another player I didn't mention there was Stephen McGarry, who was less than complimentary, it must be said, but he mentioned that he was kind of worried about his future at the club. Were all of the senior players a wee bit concerned that the future at Fir Park may be about to come to an end?
I think you're always concerned about that. And in fairness to Jim Gannon, I think that's the way the game's gone. You see managers coming now, certainly up here, and they tend to just sweep the whole lot out and bring all new players in. Certainly something in my time that's changed hugely. Before, like I say, people would be signing on 2 and 3 year deals, and there seemed to be a lot more continuity. But if you look at the turnover of players nowadays, it's absolutely incredible. Most teams in Scotland and Motherwell, to an extent, have been a bit of an exception to that, and I think it's probably served them well.
Yeah, that season was kind of turned on its head, and Jim Gannon leaves about Christmas time. Archie Knox and Craig Brown come in, the Jack and Victor of Scottish football, as it was hailed at the time. And the atmosphere around the place just seemed to automatically lift, and there was players that had been sidelined suddenly featuring again and seeming to be thriving and they're and getting game time.
I remember the day Jim Gannon got, I can't remember, I think he left, didn't he, of his own accord, and such was the club at the time, you never knew whether someone was kidding on or not when he came in and heard the news. I just remember there was a sort of bit of a split in the dressing room. There was people who were right out in the cold, basically in Siberia, feeling pretty happy about things, whereas a lot of the boys that he'd signed or had been playing were, you know, not so happy about it. But I think we got a nice balance after that, because some of the, like you say, some of the players he brought in were really good quality. And then he brought some back who maybe were certainly very unfortunate to be left out, and they sort of supplemented that, and we went on a hell of a run that year. It was really real pity that we got knocked out of the cup at Inverness early on in Craig Brown's spell, because I think we went a lot of games unbeaten, and some of the games in the run were fantastic. I mean, obviously the one that springs to mind is the 6-each against Hibs, which probably sums Motherwell up. You know, it's never boring.
Yeah, that kind of brings me on nicely. That was the next question. There was two games at the end of that season, wasn't there? Because we were dead and buried at Ibrox on the final day. Yeah. Ended up drawing 3-3 as well. But the 6-6 game, possibly the best game in Topley Heights Scottish football history. Just not from a defender's point of view, yeah. But it must have been quite incredible to be involved in that.
It was a really good game. I watch a bit of football, but sometimes I show my kids the highlights of the game, because it was just crazy. It had everything. Some of the goals were brilliant. Some of it, I remember Giles Coke ran about 80 yards back, and like, speed's unbelievable. And you think, that's brilliant, Coke. And then he leaves a back pass short, and Reardon gets in. And then I managed to get on the score sheet that game. Jim put a great ball in and got a good header on it. We scored some great goals. And like I say, then other times it's comedy of errors. Come in, was it 4-2 at half time, and then it goes to 6-2, and you're thinking, oh Jesus Christ, and then you get back in it, or 6-2. I don't think that was that long to go either. I remember seeing the fans leaving.
Well, that's what I was going to say. There's a lot of people that say they stayed to the end, but if you look at the Sky footage, it's pretty sparse considering there was a crowd of plus 7,000 that day. It was cheaper entry because it was a big game. I'm not convinced that there was that many people that stayed to the end or didn't watch it in the pub at the end of the game.
Well, there was plenty to play for. I think that was a European spot, and we were right up for it. They were right up for it. I know it was 6-2, seeing the fans leaving. We're probably thinking, what sort of mood would Archie Knox be in and Craig Brown be in when we got back to the dressing room? And then I think I scored from the corner, and it wasn't. I thought I'd done okay, but I think you'd look at it and say it probably wasn't great goalkeeping. And 6-4, it certainly wasn't great goalkeeping. And then we obviously the 6-5, you get to the penalty, and you're thinking, well, here we go. And then it's a brilliant save from the goalie from the penalty from Ross Forbes. And then obviously I'm claiming assist on the last one, putting Djukovic through. I mean, he could have missed from there, could he?
No, that's a tap-in, basically. The celebrations for that were brilliant as well. I think Aldo runs the length of the touchline to jump at people. You can see Bill Dickey involved in the celebrations. And just anybody that was in the vicinity seemed to manage to get onto the track side to celebrate that goal.
It was brilliant, and like I say, I don't know, a lot of people talk about medals and what you win in football, but in the years I was at Motherwell, to be involved in the types of games we tended to play in, which were end-to-end and things happening all the time, you know, it's brilliant. And when you're playing a game like that and you manage to pull it round, it's a fantastic feeling. And I think that's why everyone enjoys watching sport, and that's why everyone enjoys playing sport as well.
And that brought European football again. The third successive season, and that was a good run. There was the game in Iceland to start us off, and then we'd go to Norway. They were a decent side, but at Fir Park especially, they took care of them quite convincingly, and you got in the score sheet in that game.
I remember the Icelandic team because they were really good, and I remember talking to Laz and maybe Hammy about it, and they were first round, but we played Lynethley previously, and we made a bit of a bodge job of it, but the Icelandic team were really good, and we were like that to each other, you know, these aren't bad. So a few years down the line, obviously you see how well Iceland's done as a nation, and it's probably less of a surprise to the boys who are out there at the time. Either the Norwegian team are really good, I managed to score in that game, and I think we had a pretty unlikely scorer with Johnny Page. Right at the end. And that was the year that I really felt we could have got through. Was it Adense or yeah. I think it's well.
Tom scored the free kick.
I didn't think they were great. I actually thought the Norwegian team were better, and I think Merv had his penalty saved. It was a good save by the goalie, and that was the time that, you know, it was a shame that we never went through. I think in those rounds at Hearts, I managed to play against Tottenham and Liverpool. You're either looking for a really big team or a tie you think's winnable, and that was, certainly went into the category of very winnable.
Yeah, I suppose we didn't mention the season before. There was the game in Albania, and then you lose the first leg, you scored the penalty and then had to retake it, didn't you? The heat was just bonkers.
Aye.
And then they come to Fir Park and you think, well, we're trailing, we've not scored an away goal, and you know, it's 5-0 at half time, I think, and going to win the game 8-1.
I don't think they were, I mean, obviously they're not the best team in the world, I don't think they were so bad. We just played really well that night, really, really well. It was at Airdrie, I think, we actually played that game, 8-1. And then Bucharest was brilliant as well. That was fantastic atmosphere that night. They were a really good team. And I think trouble was we never got an away goal. I think it was 2-3-0 away.
Yeah, it was 3-0 away. But I think Russ Forbes scored. Goal
and we were right back in it going into the second half. And we gave a bit of a silly penalty away, but felt we were really in that tie as well. But certainly the Odense game, it was probably the most disappointing one.
Is that a bit of regret that didn't just kick on and make that extra step and make the group stages? Because there was opportunities there, wasn't there, particularly in that campaign, I think, going into the second leg with the away goal.
Yeah, no, it's something in my time at Motherwell. I think we should have won a cup, and I think we could have got to the group stages. You could never just get over the line. Obviously, you need a bit of luck in that as well, but you know, certainly the players were good enough, and they've been, you know, you still see the pictures of them winning their trophy in 91, was it?
Yeah.
You know, it's been really nice to do something like that.
The following season, Craig Brown leaves again round about the Christmas time. Stuart McCall comes in.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to disrupt the momentum too badly. There was still a cup semi-final in the League Cup where Rangers narrowly came out in top 2-1. But we'd obviously get the run to the Scottish Cup final. And I think you scored in every round. On the way, maybe without a goal in the replay against Dundee United, but
that's right. It was a great run. I remember the semi-final against Rangers because Les came in one day saying he had a really good deal on boots, and if you know Les, he sort of likes to look after his pennies. So they got these ones for about 30 quid or something, it was £25. Then someone pointed out that they weren't actually the proper boots. You know, they'd actually bought the wrong thing. But he was wearing them against Rangers, and I don't think Les ever really scored. And that was about his first goal in I don't know how long. And he scored it with his very good value boots. I remember that. And then either Scottish Cup, I think Stuart McCall came in and we had a bit of a sticky start in the league. But we beat a really good Dundee team. They were flying at the time 3-0. And we went through the rounds. The semi-final was a bit surreal at Hampden because we didn't start that well. But we're 3-0 at half-time.
Almost felt like fallen Motherwell and not really been able to remember 91. Semi-final disappointment was kind of what I was used to, if we even got there. So you're nervous, this is a real chance because you're playing this Johnston team that are very much on a level, if not a bit below us. And it was a nervy start, and then Craggs pops up with the goal, and suddenly it was just easy street from there almost, and your goal was, I think it was from the car park, wasn't it?
That was a long way. I remember Craig scoring because I think the shout from the St Johnstone bench was leave Craig's on the ball, so I don't think he took too kindly to that. So when he scored, I think he let everyone know that know what he thought of that. Murph scored an absolutely brilliant goal as well that game. Just people at Bell Park will have seen him just drift by boys and drills it in the corner. It was great, and I come with volley well, which was good. Better keeper, might have done a bit better, I don't know, but you know, it was a long way out. And see, going from 2-0 in a game to 3-0, it's such a big thing as well. It's not, as you see, with the six each game's received, it doesn't mean you won it, but that's just that extra little breathing space. And remember going in half-time and you're thinking, you know, I saw the Chaka Wainer, and that was, you know, it's a really nice feeling. And you get into the last 20-15 minutes and you're solid, and it's one of the nicest feelings you get on the pitch when you know you've got the game won and you've got that final to look forward to.
And got into the final previously in the, earlier on in the season, we'd beaten Celtic 2-0 at Firth Park. You got both the goals in that game. Did that give you a bit of belief that come the final you could go toe-to-toe with Celtic? It was always going to be a big ask.
I was a bit disappointed that we never really got going in the game. We never really went toe-to-toe. I don't know. I mean, Stuart McCall's job was unbelievable when you look at his record at Motherwell. I don't know if he had it again, whether he would have been a bit more attack-minded. I mean, he certainly wasn't going out to be defensive, but, you know, we never really got going. I remember Gavin Gunning hit the crossbar, which is a bit unfortunate. But we never really got going, and obviously they scored three good goals. You know, they were on form that day. But it'd be nice to, you know, having played them previously and beating them at Fir Park, there was that little bit of belief. Well, a lot, you always believe every game, but I think we felt we could do it, and we just never done well enough on the day.
Is that a difficult thing with a side like Celtic? They're used to the final, they're used to Hampden, the occasion, the build up, the increased press in the build up. Did that maybe turn a few heads and prove a distraction in the lead up to the game?
No, nothing like that. Celtic are a good team. I think the pressure was on them. I think they'd mucked up the previous year against Ross County in the semi-final. I think Neil Leonard had won a trophy at that stage. The only thing I think that might have changed the game, but I remember Mostorovic putting a pretty shocking tackle on myself. You don't know whether, you know, a VAR or whatever now, whether that could have been a red, that might have changed it. But no, I wasn't good enough on the day. I think they scored some good goals as well. I remember Stokes putting a good free kick at the end when the game was pretty dead. But I think Ki Sung Young has scored a really, really good goal. So they were deserved winners. I think we were a bit unlucky that year. I mean, remember the League Cup semi-final, Morris Eddy smashed one in with his left foot. I mean, I don't think that's been seen before or since. So, like I say, you sometimes need a bit of luck to go your way as well.
And that would be the end of your first spell at Motherwell, and you would join Hearts in the summer under Paolo Sergio. You didn't really get afforded too many opportunities.
Well, it was under Jim Jeffries, which was part of the trouble he sort of brought us in, and then he got sacked pretty quickly. I wasn't so keen to leave Motherwell. I spoke to the manager. He basically said he thinks it's, you know, a lot of the boys were out of contract. I think there was Murph. I couldn't name all of them, but there was a hell of a lot of boys out of contract, and held off a little bit, hoping that we'd all sign again, because, you know, I was happy and playing and scoring a lot of the time. So I was not desperate to leave, but obviously ended up at Hearts. Jim Jeffries was the manager, and then, quick as anything, Jim Jeffries gets sacked. Obviously Vladimir Romanov's the chairman, who's a colourful character. I don't think the new manager particularly liked this. I'm not sure the chairman Romanov saw us as you know, one of Jim Jeffries' signings, rather than he wanted to distance himself from me that way as well.
It must be hard. There must be days you're going into the Hearts changing room at that time and not knowing everyone's name. It just seemed the turnover of players was spectacular. The chairman would, depending on what side of the bed he woke up on, it was just a mad time for the football club.
I think it was madder before I got there. I think Jim Jeffries had settled it down a bit, and I know, you know, a couple of years previous the squad was absolutely crazy, but Hearts was great. You know, I felt they'd finished third the previous season, I think, and, you know, I felt there was something good going on. I'd always enjoyed playing at Tynecastle in terms of the, you know, it was steep-sided with the stands. I liked playing for the fans, playing against them at times. You used to get a bit of stick for them, but I really liked the atmosphere there. So I had really high hopes going there. Maybe, you know, you could go go there and challenge the old firm. And I saw myself as, rather than holding out for somewhere else, I felt, you know, I could, you know, play regularly there and do really well for him. And it's a shame that, you know, I've done okay, I think, at times. I think I've done well at times playing for him, but I never had the success there that I did at Motherwell. And, you know, I wish I had, but in saying that, if I'd have had that, then maybe I wouldn't have come back to Motherwell and had the good times again there.
It did give you the opportunity to broaden your horizons as well in the time at Central Coast Mariners.
Oh, it was strange that they said struggling for cash. They were always struggling for cash at that time, Hearts. And came in, they didn't really say anything to us, but I can't remember how it came about, but I wasn't the manager. They said I could go on loan, so as soon as I got told I could go on loan, I think my phone never stopped ringing and my agent's phone never stopped ringing. So we said to the club, what about going here, what about going there? And all of a sudden they said, oh, you can go on loan, but you're not allowed to go on loan anywhere in the UK. All right, well, that changes things a bit. And then I just remember getting a call saying from the manager over in Australia, you fancy coming over here. I'd never really heard of him. You know, you think all the A-League team, it's the only A-League team that's not in a big town, and then you see the top of the A-League or second or top, one of the two. Did a bit of research on the place and saw they had palm trees behind the goal. And when I went over there, we were about to go in the Asian Champions League, so I thought, why not give it a go? And I had a cracking time over there. We ended up winning the league on the final day, and it was strange. The football over there was totally different. We were playing in Wellington, which was a 4-hour flight away. It's a 50,000 stadium. I don't know how many fans were there. There must have been about 20 Central Coast fans, and that was win the league. The big thing out there is, though, a bit like the Super League rugby, you play to a grand final. And we never managed to get to that, although we were the league or ladder champions, whatever that means. That was great. And then we played in the Asian Champions League, which so we played a Chinese team, a Korean team, and a Japanese team. So, broadened your horizons, went to Korea, went to China. So it was an interesting time.
Yeah, and obviously while you were away, Hearts would win the Scottish Cup. And no. Was it hard going back? I know under John McGlynn you got more opportunities, no. You got more game time, but was it difficult to go back to a team that were on the high of beating their closest rivals in a Scottish Cup final?
It was obviously the thing about the 5-1. It was an incredible high for the club, but I don't think the league form had been fantastic. It was a strange place to be about. And I've never been someone who thought, you know, because I've left a place I don't want them to do well. You know, I had friends at Hearts and I was absolutely delighted how well they done in the final, and so pleased for them.
Were you there?
I wasn't. I was about to fly back from Australia. And I mean, at the same time, we'd won the league in Australia. It's not comparable, but things never are. But, you know, been fairly successful over there, but you know same. I think Motherwell finished third that season. You know, you're delighted for the boys at Motherwell doing well. So, you know, I've never been someone to think, just because I'm not there, it's rubbish. You know, you're always pleased, and if I see Motherwell doing well, and I really wanted to win one of the two finals when they got there the other year, and it never happened. Same with St Mirren. You know, I wish them all the very best, unless obviously I'm in the team playing against them.
So at the end of the season, under John McGlynn, you're released due to the continuing financial problems at Hearts. You had a lot of options at that point, but you opted to return to Fir Park. What was the draw, apart from the obvious that you had such success during your first time?
I just always felt it was a great place to be in terms of the people who worked there, Aldo, and the Burrows. Like I say, it was always a really warm place. Laz, I drove in with him every day, so you know that you're going to have to do a lot of driving generally with Laz, because his car's always got something wrong with it. But no, I got him over with Laz. Hammy was there. I liked the manager. I thought Stuart McCall is a person and as a manager, but certainly as a person, he was just a great guy. Kenny Black, apart from his warm-ups, was fantastic as well. Physio John Porteous. It was a great place to come back to, so you can never tell. That's the beauty of football in many ways. You don't know whether you're going to play, whether you're going to score, whether you're going to win or be successful, but you know there's good people there, so you know it's easy enough to come back to.
And it was a great first season back, 22 goals, second place secured in the final day of the season. And I've heard bits and pieces about the bus journey and the way home that day. Been one of the most memorable, or, well, limited memories, but a very enjoyable bus journey back home from what was a ridiculous day, really. It was a poor game, wasn't it? You're going into the dying stages. I think you put up 2 minutes added time. It's, Laz tries to shoot from the halfway line from a free kick.
I think he just tried to kick it as far as he could.
I don't think he could have kicked it much further, to be fair.
It's surprised he reached. It wasn't a great game. I think the Aberdeen had a really, really good team at that stage. And the manager wanted to shut up shop a bit. So it wasn't a great game. But then the last 20 minutes we tried to go for it. We never really got it going. I don't think it was 2 minutes. I think it could have been 1 minute.
I think you might be right.
And we're all like that. It's been 6 subs, mate. There's been about eight substitutions. I remember Bikachi was brilliant that game as well. As a couple of times. I mean, obviously still a good player now, Noah McGinn, but he was absolutely flying at the time. Johnny Hayes, and he made a couple of last-ditch tackles. And then obviously Laz fires the ball up. It's a crossbar. There's a handball on the line. At that stage, I'm thinking, oh, geez, we're going to have to take a penalty here. This isn't... Is it, you know, and then Reedy slots in, and it was brilliant. And played the home game that week against Inverness, and I think we done well. We won 2-1.
How the ball hit
the post and went across the line, I have not got a clue to this day. So maybe it was just meant to be. But there's a couple of decisions during the season where I think we were sort of slightly unfortunate. So it worked itself out in the end. The bus journey. As well as places to be than be on that bus journey, it was great, lots of singing. Simon Ramsden, which was great. Obviously Laz was there giggling away and joining in, and Fraser Kerr, which is normally good, but it's a great bunch of boys as well. And obviously you got Kenny Black and the gaffer who weren't immune to singing and having a beer and a bit of banter as well, so good place to be.
We talk about the kind of decisions that went against us, the 2-2 game against Aberdeen. I think it was Russell Anderson appeared to have handballed it before the equalising goal. Yeah. And it just felt like things were maybe going against us. Then obviously the Jimmy Langfield goes up for that ball and you're challenging with him.
Yeah.
Later on you'd be reunited with Jamie Langfield. Was there any mention of that when you...
He said it was a foul. I mean, I can't see it myself, but I just tried to get my body in, and I've been interesting because I might have had to take a penalty against him. I'd really not hit it in. It all happened really quickly. It was a bit surreal. I mean, when Laz took the free kick, I don't know what odds you'd have got on the keeper missing it, bouncing it in the crossbar, handball and goal. It was great, and obviously the support that went up that day as well was brilliant. You know, Motherwell fans are great. They was it the young boys in the young team in the corner, and I said it's brilliant. You know, the away games, I don't think they're meant to bring smoke bombs and all that, are they? But they tend to find their way there, and you know, you go to a lot of clubs and it's a bit, you know, not so noisy, but the Motherwell fans were great with the banter, with the songs and everything else as well. It's a great place to be.
The following season, the reward of the second place finish was going into the early stages of the qualifiers. You mentioned earlier on that because the coefficient was good, we'd go into the later qualifying stages. This was very much the preliminary stages.
Yep.
The standing game was really disappointing. I think the 2-0 lead early on in the first leg to be pegged back late, and then the extra time defeat, it was a good strike from the guy in extra time, but it kind of set the tone for what was to follow in the months ahead, didn't it?
Everything sort of went against this one way or the other. I mean, we absolutely battered them at home, and was it a 1-1 draw?
2-2,
I mean, but we really... I mean, the first 15 minutes we could have been 3 or 4 up. And then I don't know how many penalties Laz conceded in the tie, but it was a lot. And even at the end of the game, I think it's 2-1, and we get a corner and we shoved everyone up the pitch, and I don't think that was the manager wanting us to do it either. We were really pushing for the third, and we just got a sucker punch on the break in 2-each, and even over there we took the lead and managed to give away another penalty. And even when the goals that were scored weren't great, it was obviously you have to hold your hands up and like the score is, you know, they want nugs, but you know, you, a bit like the Aberdeen game, you'd have never guessed that they'd have scored a goal like that. You'd never guess it would concede three penalties in the tie and concede the goals we conceded. It's just, it's one of those things. And it's a disappointing start to the season. And then it was a strange season. We beat St Mirren, we didn't play particularly well. Motherwell, I think as a club, had been, like I said earlier, you'd be down at the bottom and then you go and run on a few games and win them. And I remember the game before Stuart McCall left, we played St Johnstone, we absolutely annihilated them and conceded two really poor goals again. But I mean, we were so far on top in the game, and that's a shame he didn't stay. I think I don't know, he'll obviously know more about it than any of us, but I don't know whether he was just taking it as far as he could go and wanted a new challenge and give someone else a shot.
Yeah, I think he kind of alluded to that, didn't he, when he left, that perhaps he said he overstayed his welcome. I think that nobody can argue with the job that Stuart McCall did at Motherwell, possibly unparalleled in the last 20 years, the success that he enjoyed.
I'd agree with that, because I always think the managers at Motherwell have a tough time with things. I look at, I mean, obviously they played St Mirren and probably a similar sized club. You could argue possibly St Mirren could get better support with a population of like Paisley and Renfrew, and you know, certainly St Mirren get a huge support. I mean, the club I'm at now, Greenock Morton, Greenock's probably bigger than Motherwell, and there's still the support there. Motherwell, the expectations are so high, and when you actually sit down and you realise what the club has achieved over the years, it's phenomenal. I think league position is, I know people win cups, I think league position probably tells you how good a club has been over the years. And you look at Stuart McCall's record, and you look at the record over with Mark McGee. I mean, if St Mirren were to finish third, or Greenock Morton were to finish third in the SPL, there would be, you know, the press and everything else, you know, they'd be going wild about it. It just seems it's expected at Motherwell, which is great in a way, because the fans are used to it. It's like the European trips. I saw yesterday Kilmarnock, half of Ayrshire, gone to Wales. Well, I think I played for 5 years in Europe at Motherwell. There must have been seven, because the club always finished really high or got to a cup final when I wasn't there. You know, it was just expected. And I think, you know, the expectation level there for a club that it's always expected that you'd be not beat but compete with Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Ibs. It was never an inferiority thing. And it must be tough to cope with at times.
Yeah, so Stuart would leave and Ian Barraclough comes in, and it's a bit of an unknown quantity. I think for the fans, didn't really know what to expect. Was it difficult, the transition to a new manager?
So it's quite funny, because I remember the first game he took charge of, and I think I managed to score in a 1-0 win, so I had to do the prep, talk to the papers afterwards. And I think one of the things was, what do you think the new manager's expectations and goals are? And I was saying, well, we'd just take one game at a time and hopefully work our way up the league table, and long term he can put a stamp on things and get improving. And then I think he came in after me and he was talking about winning the league. Yeah, he was winning the SPL. And I just remember after that, obviously Tam Cowan does everything for Motherwell, like end of season dinners and players testimonials. I think his question to him every time was, obviously you said about winning the league, just wondering what league you're talking about, Ian, whether it's the Championship or the Premier League.
Do you think that's kind of almost made a rod for his own back type thing, where you, I don't want to say a parody figure, but it can, the media can kind of take a line and just run with it throughout, can't they?
I can. He sort of changed things about a little bit. The one thing I remember from his time there was obviously Robbo came in as number two eventually, and I thought, you know, straight away you're impressed by how well he sort of organised the team. So, you know, further down the line, I know his spell wasn't a success. I can't say that I really enjoyed it, in all honesty. You know, you'd, as opposed to Stuart McCall, Craig Brown, even Mark McGee as well, but even when I was at the team under those managers, I felt it was a nicer place to be about than what's happened at the moment. It's never easy because you're losing games and you're in a relegation scrap. But, I mean, I guess the bright spot was that Robbo was there and he got involved with the club because, you know, his achievements have been really good. And, you know, you see the young boys coming through now and being to cup finals, and, you know, the club looks in a strong position again.
Was it evident that Stephen Robinson had the credentials to progress into management?
Yeah, I think so. I think right from the start, like I say, his organisational skills were really, really good. All the managers had different bits about him. I mean, Craig Brown, his man management was brilliant. Mark McGee kept the place really lively and bubbly. Stuart McCall was the same, really, really good man manager, really, really good guy. The atmosphere at the club was great. Jim Gannon, different, but tactically at times really good. But no, certainly you could tell Robbo, you know, it was going to be good in terms of, I think Motherwell fans will have seen it, you know, the team always really well organised, good at set plays. There's other bits as well, but tactically they're normally spot on.
You scored some big goals despite the fact you were in and out of the team. You scored the winning goal at St Mirren. Mm. I think it was Partick Thistle on Boxing Day around about that time. You scored the only goal of the game there. The winning goal at Ross County. You did get amongst the goals. I think you scored at Parkhead as well.
I was upset in some respects because I felt I had a good season. We were in a struggling team, and like I say, goals don't mean everything, but I think my goal tally was pretty high that year, and it was very high for being in and out of the team. I don't know whether it was because he wanted to put his own stamp on things, whether because of the players that he'd signed he felt he had to play him, or usher in a new era of some description. I couldn't really tell you, but it was very surreal, and I'd be lying if I said I understood it. I know, like I said earlier, you know, new managers nowadays they tend to want to put their own stamp on things, but you know, at the same time I felt I was doing really well for him, and you know, I probably deserved a little bit more of an opportunity than what I got. You get, you know, always felt my attitude and being a good teammate and everything else was good. I'd be upset, you know, the way it all ended.
The playoffs would end the season. You've mentioned so many times the close-knit nature of the football club. I think in the build-up to that, it wasn't hidden that there was people's livelihoods on the line. There could have been office staff cut. There would obviously have been massive cuts to the playing staff, perhaps the coaching staff behind the scenes. The game against Rangers was, the magnitude was massive, wasn't it? Yeah. It was just off the scale, and the pressure must have been quite incredible.
I know, but you can only do what you can do, though. You can only do your best. You're right about the cuts, but you can only do the best anyone can do. So, the thing is with the Rangers, they're starting to get back to it. Celtic are back to it to an extent, but I might be a bit biased in that, and it might be sounding old, but Celtic and Rangers aren't what they used to be. I mean, they're not going to be like a top Premier League team anymore. Obviously, in terms of the fan base and everything else, of course they are, and the size of the clubs and the passion. I mean, the passion for football in the West of Scotland generally is incredible. But that Rangers team that we played in the playoffs, it's not the team that nearly got to the European Cup final, and it's not the teams under Advocaat, it's not the team under Walter Smith who got to the UEFA Cup final. So I think quietly, when you finish second bottom, you know that you're not the best team in the world. But I think there was quite a confidence that we could do something against them.
And what turned out to be your last appearance for the club, you'd stick away the penalty, the sixth goal. And by that point, it was put to bed, wasn't it? Rangers had pretty much lost the place, and that would continue following the full-time whistle.
Yeah.
That must have been quite surreal to bat off.
It was all a very, very strange eye. Over the two legs, I thought we were the better team. Sometimes in football, you don't get what you deserve, but we scored the goals at the right times and fully deserved it. And after the final whistle, he's a big boy, old Moshini. So I was glad that it all ended by the time I sprinted very slowly over there.
There was talk of him kind of charging about behind the scenes at Firth Park for quite some time. Did you come across that? No,
I didn't come across that. No, and if I had, I'd probably run the other way. But I know he's a big lad. I've never seen anything like it. But what can I say? But fair play to Big Leo and whispering in his ear. I don't know whether he'd do it again.
No, I think he maybe learned his lesson from that one. The relief was clear. How important were the experienced guys like yourself, Stephen Hamill, Keith Lasley, Stephen McManus, obviously, Stephen Pearson, in ensuring that the team kind of kept the morale up and pushed over the line? Because, as I've already said, it was the pressure must have been fairly substantial.
I only do your best, so you can overthink things. I mean, every game's a big game. You just get on with it. You know, people like to look back when something happens and say, oh, someone said this or someone done that. You do your best, you know. For Motherwell now, their big game will be Queen of the South on Saturday, and then the next one will be a bigger game as well. And a big game and a big... Every game's a big game, so you just go out every game you play to try and do your best. And it's just about, you know, what you've done in training, how well you're organised, and you need breaks at the right time. You know, there's a brilliant delivery, good header from Big Mick. Lionel scored a cracking goal.
Exactly, a trick these two games, though,
isn't it? I can't remember the Fir Park one who scored early on for us, but I think the goalkeeping was questionable.
It was Marvin Johnson, wasn't it? Took a slight deflection, took a nick.
Where the goalkeeper could have done a bit better. So, still things like that. They're the fine margins. You don't know if the goalie saves that, and then they get a deflection up the other end. You know, things can change. But it's brilliant, though. I mean, like I say, St Mirren have been a yo-yo club and more down than up. You look at clubs like Greenock. You know, it's unbelievable what's been achieved at Motherwell. And the expectation levels are high, but it's a fantastic place to be.
And following the time at Motherwell, a year at St Johnstone, back to St Mirren, where the final season you would win the league again. The celebrations looked pretty spectacular. It obviously meant so much to the football club to be back in the top flight of Scottish football.
Well, first of all, I was gutted to leave Motherwell. I said that I don't think the manager really wanted us, and that's the bottom line, although he didn't really come out and say it. St Johnstone was disappointed. We got to play in Europe again. Got knocked out early on, and we had a good season. Never really worked for whatever reason, never done great there. Then St Mirren, the first year it was incredible, because I know Motherwell are talking about building training grounds. St Mirren's got their own training ground. They've got great support. You know, the place is ready to take off at some stage. But we found ourselves bottom of the championship, and we took a while to turn that one round. And then the next season, get promoted was fantastic. And you know, I really hope they stay in the league and kick on. And Motherwell's a good example of where they can get to, because in terms of what's been spent at St Mirren, I don't know exactly, but they always seem to sign a lot of players in the summer and get tipped to do well, and Motherwell always seem to sign a lot less players in the summer and tend to get tipped to do badly, and it always ends the other way about. But hopefully they'll turn around now. But St Mirren's a fantastic club to be at, and I hope they kick on now.
The coaching opportunity came after that at Morton. Was there any point where you were tempted to follow in your brother's footsteps? And I know you had a few cameos in BT Sport, but was it always remaining in football and the coaching side of things?
Well, the cameos with BT Sport were normally my brother calling me saying they're a bit short at the last minute. No, You know, possibly. I know a hell of a lot of people like the thought of the punditry job. You sort of sit in a studio, nice and warm, have a cup of tea, and don't say too much about anything, unless you're my brother who's got an opinion on everything.
He certainly doesn't hold back, does he?
He's got an opinion on everything. So I think it's tough to get into, and I like being in and helping people out every day. So the coaching's been great at Morton, really talented young boys, and you know, it's going to be different this year in terms of the age of the playing squad. Apart from myself, it's going to be young, but hopefully we're going to be moving in the right direction. And hopefully, you know, like I say, Motherwell probably sets a standard in terms of, you know, young boys coming through over the years. I don't know, 20-30 years, you look at what Motherwell's produced. Hopefully Morton can help produce that like they used to, and certainly in terms of being top six in the SPL, hopefully that's where we're getting to.
And you look at that team that finished second, so many have went on to take up coaching roles, haven't they? Do you keep in touch with guys like Laz and Hammy and share wee bits of knowledge that you've all built up over the years?
A little bit. I came into Motherwell to see him last year, which was really kind of the manager and Laz, so that was good. I see Laz now and again, see Hammy now and again, see Big Mick now and again. He's working obviously at Celtic now. So you keep in touch with people a little bit. It's funny in football, you meet so many people, and he's a little bit like ships in the night. But I do keep in touch with a few of them, and you know, just fantastic memories of the place. And you know, always, you know, whether it's a reserve team, always enjoy, you know, going back and seeing people again. It's still, when I went back last time, the media department's still the same. You know, crates of Tizer and Doritos and Pringles everywhere. And it's great that so many of the same people work there and make you feel so welcome when you do go back.
And it won't be long until you get another opportunity to go back, Motherwell, Morton, BT Sport next Friday.
Yeah, I'm still not really sure how this has happened. I came in pre-season and the man who said, "Are you looking in good shape? Are you retired?" "Yeah, I'm retired, Gaffer." And then the chief exec, Are you coming back to play?" And "No, I'm retired." And it's literally every time I spoke to him. That's my story. They might say something completely different. They might say I was doing star jumps and press ups in front of them, but no, they seem pretty keen to get my boots back on. So I can't wait to go back on Friday.
There are always so many familiar faces, weren't there? But as you say, you're in good shape. You'll be looking to put one over your former club.
Well, yes, it's a tough group. I'm not quite sure who done the groups. Some teams haven't got one professional team in there, or I think Hibs have got all part-timers, and we've got three in our group. So that's a tough group, but brilliant, great place to play. And I think the Motherwell pitch now, unlike Merley, is there, is really, really good. So it'd be great to go back and see the people, but hopefully we can get a good result.
Yeah, and you'll be hoping that you can play a part in, as we've talked about, Morton being a bit of a sleeping giant. You'll look at St Mirren, the rivals now into their second season in the top flight. That's possibly what to aspire to, isn't it?
I definitely, like I say, Motherwell's probably the benchmarks in Mirren. I still think you know, they can once they get their act together, that, you know, get up to Motherwell. And Greenock's the same, you know, especially when you look at the potential fan bases. There's all much smaller teams up in the SPL at the moment who are fighting well above the weight, you know, like the Hamiltons and the Ross Counties to an extent. The St Johnstons, you know, you would like to think that as well as those clubs have done, that Morton can get up there and at least compete alongside them.
John, it's been an absolute pleasure discussing all things Motherwell and all things to your career. Thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks very much. Cheers, then.
Cheers,
thank
mate.
Summertime, now we find ourselves in late December. I believe that New Year's Eve will be the perfect time for their great surrender, but they don't remember. Anger wants a voice, voices won't sing. Sinners harmonize till they can't hear anything. Thought that I was free from all that questioning, but every time a problem ends, another one begins. And the stone walls are vomiting all bear witness. Anybody with a word in mind can never forgive the sight of wicked snakes inside a place you thought was dignified. I don't want to live like this, but I don't want to die. Like a young pretender's. Beneath these velvet gloves I hide shameful crooked ends of a moneylender. Cause I still remember. Anger wants a voice, voices wanna sing. Sinners harmonize till they can't hear anything. Thought that I was free from all that questioning, but every time a problem ends, another one begins. And the stone walls of harmony all bear witness. Anybody with a word in mind can never forgive the sight of wicked snakes inside a place you thought was dignified. I don't wanna live like this, but I don't wanna die. Out of place you thought was dignified. I don't wanna live like this.